It changed my life, to be honest. I've found a hobby that I really enjoy. It's got me back in the gym. I've lost 2 stone in, what, 3 months? Do you know what I mean? Like,
they've only shaken ahead.
I think I've got similar effect when I eat a few slices of cake. And I prefer to eat cake than go to the gym. So I just think in my head, shit, what have I done?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Round 3, fight!
Okay, let's do this. Welcome along to the Still Parents podcast, and it is our latest boxing special after our most recent and our third charity boxing event, which took place down at the XL Leisure Centre, the XL Arena, as I prefer to call it.
It was like a fucking sauna.
Oh, it's so hot.
Yeah.
Especially when Dan turned up in like a full 3-piece suit. And I was like, Dan, seriously, you're going to be absolutely dripping.
Do you know what? It's
five minutes later, we'd taken his jacket off.
Yeah. No. Well, I didn't wear one. That was my decision at home. I thought, I'm not going to wear a jacket. It's going to be a bit hot. But because I'm hosting in the ring, I thought, well, I can't turn up in Bermuda shorts and, you know, bring a Lilo. Still got to try and look smart. This particular pair of trousers, they were thick. Yeah. They look like they've been made out of my grandma's old sofa from back in the day.
I thought they were like wool.
Yeah. My legs. Remember that scene out of Friends with Ross and his...
with his leather trousers. Yeah.
Oh, that is quite a situation.
I see lotion. I have lotion. Will that work?
Yeah, sure. Throw some of that on there.
I was
and
there.
The talc.
But yeah, it was so hot in there because we did this event. Well, it was the middle of July, wasn't it? So, yeah. And we're still in summer now. It's just, and what we're doing on this episode, as we have done, and the links to our two previous boxing episodes are in the description for this. We have got a couple of our fighters. Let's bring our two guests in. I'm going to start with Avona. I'm going to try and get your surname correct because I remember this on the night. I was on the microphone going, right, I've got to get this. Is it Shuletska?
Shuenska.
Did I say it right on the night?
More or less. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really think she cared. I think she was shitting herself about the fact she was just about
to... I care, Ryan, I care.
I don't think I've heard or recognised anything that was around or anything that was said before or after. All I've heard was the coaches that were on their side.
Yeah.
And my family, and that was it.
Thank you for coming in and joining us on this episode. Now, one interesting thing, actually, you said you were more nervous about doing this than you were about the actual fight.
Yes.
Was that true?
Yes.
Why?
It's talking and saying something stupid or saying something
Don't worry, Matt, see ya.
Yeah, but that's for the fun. Matt is here, so he can always say maybe something stupid.
I love the fact that Ivona's back right up on that.
Yeah.
You right there, Matt?
Just fuck off.
Also joining us today and was rounded off the night, actually. It was the final fight of the night, wasn't it?
It was.
Welcome, Dave. Dave White. How are you, Dave?
All right, thank you.
Yeah. He's got a great beard, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I think you're stunning. Yeah. That's how you do bold and a beard properly.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more worried, Ryan, that I'm now trapped in a corner.
Yeah, with two men that are giving you
So, yeah, do you use beard oil? Do you brush oil?
Well, obviously, you know, when the routine finished on my head and I wasn't using gel anymore. Yeah. The beard got the grooming,
Yes. I'm sorry, if you just catch me staring at you at a random time during the podcast. Avona and Dave, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Dave, I spoke to you very briefly about 5 minutes before your fight because I was walking through the only air-conditioned room in the building, which is where the pre-fight kind of room was. And you grabbed me and went, oh, you're the host, aren't you? Yeah. Don't call me David on the mic. Call me Dave. I was like, I'll say whatever you want, mate. And Avona, my first memory of you on the night was hearing Ryan going, well, she's just failed a medical. The blood pressure's too high. We're not, she don't even know if she's going to fight.
No, but the best thing was, is Ivona's failed a med... Well, not failed a medical, but her medical was put on hold until she calmed down a little bit because her blood pressure was about 190 over 120, was it?
I remember 160, so I don't know what she's talking about.
Ivona's saying, my blood pressure's higher. She's marching around the place, like getting more and more angry. And I've
been told to go out, and I was on my way to go out. out, gathering everything that I need to relax and people that I need to relax me. Yeah. And then I was walking out.
You got
getting
angry.
Getting more angry.
You were more...
because they were doing this wrong.
Dan, it says something. She was more angry than me.
I noticed that on the night. Because I got Ryan walking around going, Ivona, just sit down, will you? And I'm going, Ryan, that's not going to work. Did you have another one later and pass it then? Or did you end up signing a waiver?
No. I've done it properly. I told them how to do it. I've done it correctly. And then I passed.
Dave, did you go through your medical easy? Straight through?
Yeah, and I think somebody had obviously told them that I might have had an energy drink. So I passed my medical and said, and they said, any questions? I said, no, I'm done. And then the woman said, now you can go and have a Red Bull.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was you, but...
No, I never said anything to them about energy drinks because Dave lives off energy drinks.
Right, I've noticed you've got a pint of Red Bull right now.
Yeah. And that was my worry with Dave, was that he was going to fail his medical on his blood pressure based on the fact that he has about 1 million energy drinks in a day. Dave's one of these people, though, with the energy drinks. You know, like you have a pre-workout before you go to the gym and you have like a scoop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Dave has the whole bowl.
The whole tub.
Yeah, the whole tub.
No, I don't use the powder anymore because I took that before, like, dry, you know, and it's not very nice.
Just
not very...
Just scooping it
like
sherbet.
Yeah, so that's why the Red Bull came back out, yeah.
Let's get serious. The reason the event is put on is, you know, we're getting boxes in. Some were fighting in memory of their lost children, their lost babies. And it was the case with both Ivona and Dave. It was Mohammed and Reggie. How much convincing did you need to do the event when you first heard about it?
Go on, Dave.
So obviously I signed up back in January and then we had a training session and the event got cancelled or postponed, shall we say. I think in January, I was probably G'd up a little bit by my missus and I wanted to do something, probably didn't know what, and thought this was probably my route in, if that makes sense. And obviously, you know, I'll probably do an episode on, you know, what we've been through in my journey and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I was very much closed off to the emotions and all of that side of things. So as I say, I was there in January and I did come to a training session. And me and Ryan have had this chat, funnily enough, haven't we? And you know, Ryan was pretty blunt with me and said, you wouldn't have hacked it, you wouldn't have seen this through back in January.
Don't sound like Ryan.
Which, So, and do you know what? I don't know if I agree with him or not. I think I'm still in the disagreement camp with that.
Yeah.
Only because I know I'm a stubborn bastard. Sorry for the language. So
fine.
I think I would have seen it through.
Yeah.
But I might not have given it what I gave it this time round.
You're in a different headspace.
Yeah. So I would have done it just out of principle. But I wouldn't have done it to the level that I did it this time. Like, I mean, I was pretty committed. So, yeah, I think...
So it all clicked into place, really?
Definitely. I took the opportunity in January, but I didn't commit to it the way I did this time. This time, I was raring to go. I mean, I was in Turkey when the message came out saying on holiday with the family saying, boxing's going to start next week. And I remember saying to my missus, like, what day do we land? We landed at, like, 4 a.m. in the morning. It was her grandma's funeral that day. And I was like... I think I can go boxing tonight. And she's like just looking at me. I was like, no, I meant Thursday, not tonight. Sorry. Yeah. So I think I grasped it with both boxing gloves, shall we say.
How did you find the training, Dave?
I'll be honest, and I think we had a quick chat when I walked in, didn't we, Dan?
Yeah.
It changed my life, to be honest. It's brought me from
You're
somewhere.
You're buzzing, aren't you?
Yeah. Like, do you know what? There's so many things I could say, but I've found people that, you know, understand what I've been through and how I feel and how my brain works, if you like, right? I've found a hobby that I really enjoy, which I didn't know existed. Well, obviously I knew boxing existed, but I didn't realise it was something I wanted to do and was into.
Brilliant.
It's got me back in the gym.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I've lost 2 stone in, 3 months? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's literally, it has changed my life.
Have you really?
Yeah. So I was tipping the scales at almost 23 stone when I started, right?
For our American audience, what's that in pounds, Matt?
This is what they do to me. They're just idiots, both of them. Like, you just Google it,
I don't know it. I don't know it.
Yeah, Google it then.
They are. Google it, Matt says.
Yeah, this morning, so I've tipped the scales this morning, like, bang on 21 stone. So.
Wow.
21 stone is 294 pounds. Okay. And 23 stone was 322 pounds.
And you've really got the bug now.
Yeah,
you're going off training right after we've done this podcast, aren't we?
I've definitely, like I said, I've got the bug. You know, I had a week off after the fight. I don't even know why, really. I was just like, you know what I'll do? I'll just have a week to myself and that. And I think, obviously, the fight was on the Saturday night. Come Tuesday, like, my other half, Emily, was just like, will you just go to the gym? I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you're miserable. We don't want you in the house miserable. You're in the way. Like, this, for context, this happened. Like, I bought one of these robot Hoovers for her birthday, right? Brilliant birthday present. Like, just means I don't have to vacuum. And I was having like a fight with the vacuum in the hallway because it was bumping into the wall. So she's like, you're arguing with like a vacuum. Please just go to the gym.
Yeah. One thing I will say though, going back to Dave, is I know Dave disagrees with me that he wouldn't have seen it out in January. And I don't think a case of not seeing it out. I think it's more a case of being invested and into the training and into the whole experience, because it is an experience.
That's exactly what it is. It's a massive experience. Is it 12-week camp?
This was a 10-week camp. Yeah. Ordinarily, we would do an 8-week camp, but we did a 10-week camp this time. And I do think, I think Dave's hit the nail on the head. I don't think he would have been as invested potentially in January as what he was when we started this camp. There's a completely different person in Dave in comparison to now. There's a completely different person. Completely different person.
Wow. In what way?
I think last time he wanted to do it, but he was also being pushed to do it. Whereas I think with this, it was very much, Dave, I'm invested, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make sure that...
I don't disagree with that. Like I said, you know, I think in January, I wanted to do it because obviously, you know, it was in memory of Reggie and he was supporting Lily May, and, you know, Ryan knows that I've always tried to do what I can and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, and I don't know how to say this without sounding, like, you know, without trying to... without sounding ignorant, I suppose. I think because Emily has had such a great experience with the Lily May Foundation, has had her counselling and stuff, but I decided not to do that route. I think, I suppose, I didn't really understand what I was going to gain from it and what talking could do. So I think when we did it this time around, then in May, I think I was almost at breaking point, if you like. I'd spiraled to a point where, you know, my relationship was on the rocks, you know, really? I'm afraid to admit it. We were struggling, you know, because of my emotions.
So this is a massive impact.
Yeah, and that's what I say. Like, this, it's cliche, isn't it? This has changed my life. This has changed my life.
But it's such an important message, because we've talked about this a lot. And again, it comes back to that link that exercise has with the cognitive effect and your mental well-being. Because, again, well, I've used the example of there's not been any time that you leave an exercise session, whether it's going for a run, whether it's going to the gym or whatever it is, and you come and you finish, you're going to be knackered, but you're in a better mood than you were before you went in. At the start of it, Ivona's shaking her head.
I think I've got similar effect when I eat a few slices of cake. So.
How about you, Ivona? Tell us how you became involved. And if you are listening to this for the first time, all of the fighters for that 10-week camp, you're encouraged to train together, so you build up that camaraderie. We spoke about this with Marco, one of the trainers from Arise Sky, and we also with the Boxing Lab last time. So the link's in the description so you can hear about that process and the importance of having everyone together for the training camp. But how did it come about for you to get you involved with it?
It all started, like, I was helping with all the previous fights and watching everyone fighting. I thought, like, I really would like to do it.
Yeah.
But as I just mentioned, I prefer to eat cake than go to the gym. So I thought, well, not really in a great shape to sign up for that, something like that.
Yeah.
And then I went to a sibling day. And just as we were sitting and the kids were doing their art and crafts and we're just sitting and just Amy approached me and said, like, oh, by the way, you're doing the boxing.
You were told you were doing it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
We had a female dropout.
Right.
So we sort of thought, ooh, Ivona's always helped and always played an interest. And we were just like, yeah, we'll sign Ivona up.
Did you, but I mean, on a serious note, were you happy to commit to it though? You didn't mind?
Well, no, I just wanted to add to it. The reason why I was picked, it was because of the height. There was nothing. Just don't listen to them. It's not just because she helps there and maybe she's going to be interested. No, it was the right height.
Yeah.
That was all.
And that as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the height was good.
Yeah.
Weight, height was good.
So it was the convenience, basically.
Yeah. There's quite a contrast here between Dave and yourself, Ivona, because like, I love this, I got right into it, it's changed my life. You're like, yeah, I'd like a bit of cake, and they made me do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But what was your result?
Yeah.
No, I have to say, like, in that respect, I mean, I had a pressure from kids as well, because the kids were, mum, do it, because obviously I could drop.
You had one of the fights of the night, you did. Yeah. We're all saying that when it happened.
I know, everyone says that, I don't feel it, but I was definitely... Yeah, I think for the next week or even longer than that, I was a few inches higher and definitely with heads higher.
There's something
than
else
that.
I want to add as well. And A couple of things. First thing, obviously, Ivona stepped in. It was about 2 weeks into the camp, I think. Secondly, Ivona is a Muslim woman. And we also wanted to highlight that it's okay for Muslim women to do things like this as well. So that's yeah, you know, kudos to her. And she did extremely well. I mean, we joked on a lot of the training sessions because obviously Ivona wears a headscarf and she was coming to training in a headscarf when it was 35 degrees outside. Yeah. And I was thinking, she's going to be aching here.
Yeah.
But again, it shows that you can still do it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect you. You can still take part and you can still be part of something like this.
Yeah.
I have to say that the reaction of you when you won the fight was just, it was brilliant. It was so natural and just like.
Yeah.
She jumped, didn't she?
Yeah, she jumped in the air, punched the air. And also.
Punched the ref, punched everyone.
I have to say, when the first bell went, your eyes switched. And yes, I was like, whoa. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I'm here. Honestly, it's true. Your eyes switched. You didn't realise, but they did.
Yes. Unfortunately, he wasn't available to join us today, but the referee and the judge, we've had him at every single event. His name is Carl Cook. He knows what he's doing, and he called pretty much every result of every fight. As the fighters were walking in, he'd tell me who was going to win. And I think he got two wrong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and yours was the first one that he got wrong, because he could tell from the way that people were walking in. And what reminded me of this was what Matt just said about, because when the first bell went, your eyes switched up until that point, and the way you walked into the ring, and which is what made Carl say his comment, was like, she's enjoying it way too much. She's having loads of fun here. You were walking in to the ring with a big smile on your face to this song. What was your walk-in music?
Queen's
Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't Stop Me Now. I'm having such a good
time. I'm having a ball. Go on, Matt, give us a little sing song.
Stop me now, I'm having for a good time, I'm having a ball.
Why don't you check out Matt's brand new karaoke channel on Instagram, which you can reach at...
The Karaoke Runner.
There you are. Trying to get a little plug-in for him. So you're walking in. What's your memories? What's going through your mind at that moment before you're about to get into a boxing ring and try and hit another person who is trying to hit you?
I think I don't remember a lot. I hardly could hear the song. So I was just singing in my head, trying not to think, shit, what have I done? And why on earth did I make this decision? And then just questioning my life choices from the beginning to the end. So that's pretty much what
I do remember. I do remember you saying to me, actually, before we left the holding room, shit, what have I done?
Yeah,
I do remember you saying that to me. And I think I just laughed and walked off.
Yeah, as you do.
Wow.
But actually, that's probably what she needed at that point.
Yes, I'd agree.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand there and engage in conversation when she's about to go to war, effectively.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of the fight? Do you remember getting hit? Do you remember hitting someone and going, oh, that's I quite like this?
I had... The third round, somewhere halfway through third round, I was like, okay, my opponent is getting really hit up in here and I'm in trouble. And I tried to remember every single part of the training we had of what the hell am I supposed to do in that situation without just crawling on the floor and saying, oh, please don't hit me. But yeah, so apart from that, I think... I try to do my best, just protect my face, and that's it.
You were brilliant. Like Matt said, the moment, like, ding, ding, game face.
It might sound like probably an obvious question, but this is for both of you as well. With the training, because you said about there's going to be moments in the fight where you go to a point of, this is really tough now. Do you know what I mean? Like, as far as the training's concerned, I'm assuming they put you into situations to react to that, right?
The training's obviously totally different because you can't fight, obviously. You can't fight every time you train, if that makes sense. So you're taught the basics of how to move and how to react and how to throw the punches. But yeah, it's obviously the sparring side of it. It's never going to be as intense.
One thing I will say, and I think I remember saying this to you, Dave, I think it was one of the first times you ever sparred and you were in the ring, and it's only a tiny, tiny ring in comparison to what you were fighting in. And you just got a grin on your face. Like, you were genuinely enjoying getting hit. and you just had a grin on your face. And I remember standing there with Mark going, he's going to get fucking chinned. Because it was like, you were just like really enjoying it. I think at first as well, I think you found it quite difficult to be able to hit someone because you're, let's get
interesting.
This, let's get this right. So Dave's what? You're 21 stone.
21 stone now, yeah.
But you're a big, cuddly bear. You're not like some nasty bastard who's, you know, a big lad who's quite intimidating. You're a big cuddly bear. And I think at first you probably found it difficult to be able to just accept the fact that you've got to land a punch on someone.
Yeah, I think I agree to an extent. And obviously, Mark, like me and Mark are thick as thieves now. Do you know what I mean? I think I basically gained I was going to say a best friend, but I think we're more like brothers now. And
Marco, the trainer.
Yeah. So Mark O'Hagan, he's took me under his wing. And yeah, when you got somebody telling you, you're going to be a monster, you are like, oh my God, that right hand. Oh. And then you go to sparring and he's sort of like, right, we're not trying to take anyone's heads off. And I'm like, I'm getting mixed messaging here. I had a 1-to-1 at 12 o'clock where he's saying to me, kill him, hit him, whack him, go on, get that right hand. Get him. And then 20 minutes later, you're telling me to sometimes, face up against a woman whose head comes about halfway up my belly. And then you're saying to me, now don't take her head off. And I'm like, as soon as these boxing gloves on, now it's game on. Do you know what I mean? It was difficult. I think you're right. I think it took me a while to just find my rhythm, if you like. And then obviously there were some people that wouldn't spar me. Some people who were game for it. And then I remember there's one chap who we fought, Ricey. I mean, he's done it before, hasn't he? The one night he went over and I think it was you, we come to Ron or Mark, and they went, what's up with you? He went, I'm just punching Dave in the head and he's laughing and smiling at me. And then they were like, right. And he's like, well, I don't want to keep punching him because he's going to hit me back. I think it just took me a while to get into my rhythm. And I enjoyed the process.
Punching Dave in the head and he keeps smiling at me. Who did you fight?
I fought a lad called Joe Thompson.
That's right. It was the last fight of the night. What Correct. Was the result?
We drew. We got a draw.
Do you think it was a fair result?
Do you know what? I'm not afraid to admit this. I walked back to my corner and I said straight away to Jack and whoever else was there, I think it was Rossi, and I said, I've lost the 9. And they looked at me and they said, are you stupid? I said, I've lost the 9. And they said, no. And
is that just you? Is that your natural personal?
I'll be honest, I've spoke to a few other people and stuff. I think you only remember the punches that you took. You don't remember the ones that you threw. And obviously, until you watched maybe some footage back I walked into my ring and I suppose it's a bit of self-doubt as well, isn't it? In the moment. And then obviously I got the draw and I was like, okay, And actually I stormed over to Mark and said, you've set this up, you have. I said, I thought, and he said, no. And he dragged me, to Mark, Carl Cook.
Yeah.
And said, he's accusing me of rigging the fight. And that Carl Cook went, I don't rig a fight for anyone, mate. You got a draw and you deserve a draw. Yeah. And then Mark was like, he was like, me and you are getting in the rig.
Carl don't mess about.
He doesn't.
I think that's because I was obviously fighting for a different reason. I wasn't doing it, everything I've gained for it, the fitness, the sort of coming out of my shell, finding myself and all that again. I was in there for Reggie. So I think instinct and just me, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I think instinct was to sort of doubt myself and whatever. And, I shouldn't have really,
Please tell us about your tickling contest that you had with Joe at one point.
I think it's towards the end of the first round, wasn't it? Where,
I remember.
In the moment, when me and Joe hit the deck, it happened so quickly. And again, I can say this, he's not sat here, can he? When I realised I was going down, it happened that fast, but I thought to myself, if I land on him, I'll wind him. I've obviously watched it back and it just happens so fast, doesn't it? I think, right, and like I said, he's not here to defend himself. And if he listens, he can set me straight. But I think I damned Joe. And if you watch the footage, he sort of gets one hand behind my back and one on my shoulder as he goes, I think. Whether it was to steady himself or not. But yeah, we both hit the deck, didn't we?
Was that towards the end of the first round?
I think literally as we get back up, the bow goes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, like, we hit the deck people was like, did he hurt? I said, nah, look, to be honest, it happened that fast. And in my head, I thought, if I land on him, I've got him here.
I love that.
Tactics, isn't it? But no, when we hit the deck, I remember our eyes just obviously, we end up facing each other. And I was obviously just pissing myself laughing. And I could just see, I don't know if it was like sort of embarrassment or pain. I'll say embarrassment, I'll leave him that. But then he looked at me and I think he sort of thought, yeah, come on, like, because look, me and Joe, right, we had a bit of rivalry and, you know, we sort of played it up a bit here and there. But, you know, I think from day one, we sort of realised we were going to fight each other. It's not often you walk into a room and there's two of you at 6 foot over 20 stone. And like, do you know what I mean? We sort of knew we were always going to fight each other, didn't
we?
So,
Dave, good night. What really was?
What was your walking music? Was it your own song or something you'd composed?
So I couldn't decide essentially what I wanted, and there was a Kanye West song that I was like, yeah, that's quite good. And
which one?
It's called Monster. Like, I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, Monster.
So I was like, yeah, I want to use some of that. And then obviously, me and the missus were rewatching Peaky Blinders, obviously on my brummie, do you know what I mean? I was like, and then everybody had said to me, I bet you'll walk out to Peaky Blinders. So I thought, no, I'm not going to make
it. Oh, the theme tune?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, Red Right Hand. I was like, I'm not going to make it.
Belty theme tune, that is.
Yeah, there was like, I found this random like clip. It was basically like a bit of piano music with sort of a beat, but it had a clip from the beginning of Peaky Blinders. I knew this guy who sort of does music producing and was like, can I just borrow you for 10 minutes? Like, would you be able to tell me if I
can borrow you
download
for 10 minutes?
Something that can do? And he basically went, yeah, it's going to take me longer to explain to you how to do it. Like, just tell me what you want and I'll do it. And it sort of tied nicely because, so, you know, when Reggie passed, we had the poem in the Bleak Midwinter, which was a reading at his funeral and stuff. And there was a song version of it that Emery liked. And obviously, when I thought back and we started rewatching Peaky Blinders, like, it happens nearly every other episode where someone says, in the bleak midwinter. So we then put some of those clips, like, you know.
In the bleak midwinter.
I was a bit of a diva, wasn't I, really? I mean, I started to write, I'm not walking out until I want to walk out. I want the song to play for this long.
He had a bowl of Skittles with all the purple ones taken out.
What's your memories of the walkout and your memories of the fight? Same question that we have to vote.
So I think, like, the walk, I think, first of all, everyone kept saying to me, why would you look so calm? Why would you look so calm? But, like, I think I was just there.
Yeah, you were chilled.
I was just there for the experience. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I suppose that's me as a person, though. I don't get fazed by stuff. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, right, I'm here to do something. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
I'd already said before we went in, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd done my job. I raised money. I got people there, bums on seats.
Well, you the highest fundraiser of the night. Was it like over $4,000, wasn't it? It was nearly $5,000.
It's about $5,000, yeah.
Fantastic.
I think it might have even tipped six now.
Yeah, it might have been over that as well. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So,
absolutely brilliant.
Look, that was my job at the end of the day. That's what I've always said I'll do. So, like, before I got there, I said, whether I'll go in that ring and get absolutely danced around, I'm not fussed. I've done what I came here to do. The getting in the ring was sort of just like the, right, well, I have to do this bit to have done the other bit. Do you know what I mean? So the memories of my walkout, obviously I got warmed up and got good to go. I think obviously me and Ryan sort of had the plan of, Ryan was like, look, just take your time. So I wanted my song to play and come out at sort of a set point.
Yeah.
Then obviously the other sort of people that are around there don't know that, do they? So everyone was going to me, go on. And I was going, and then I think I just sort of went, fucking leave me alone. Like, I'm walk when I want to walk. Do you know what I mean? And Ryan's just laughing because Ryan knew I was going to walk when I was ready. I knew I had to stand on the X. And Ryan's like, when you're ready, you just stand on the X. Everyone else is like, go on. I'm just still stood there. And you know, so everyone's thinking, oh, is it nerves or whatever? But we'd planned that from day one, don't we, Ryan? That's, you know, I was going to walk out at a set point.
Keep guessing, isn't it?
I'll be honest, it went that quickly. I don't really remember. I'd feel like I didn't breathe for any of it, like through the rounds. That's something I struggled with in training, remembering where to breathe. I think when you watch it back, you get little clips and you think, oh yeah, I remember that now. But in the moment, it happens that fast that, you know, you haven't got time to sort of think, oh yeah, that was a good shot, have you? Because you get punched in the face while you sort of celebrate.
But you said you haven't watched anything back yet. So have you watched bits of yours?
Yeah, so I was, I suppose, lucky that my corner was obviously near a lot of my tables. So I've watched like amateur footage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, no. Okay, got you.
So I had a fair few people sending me videos the next day of my fight. Lots of people sending me videos of me hitting the ring.
Question for both of you. If only you won, Davey, it was a draw. Did the result matter?
I don't think it mattered whether I won or not. I probably would say differently if I lost. But no, I don't think it mattered. It was like this cherry on the top. But yeah, it was nice to win. I can't lie. But it was just going out and gaining that confidence of being able to do it. And the fact that, you know, I had the name of my son on my back and whatever I did for all that 3 rounds, I was there for him in his memory.
Yeah.
And every move I did was with him on my back. So that's pretty much why I did it. And yeah, that's my biggest memory of it. And the rest didn't matter, win, lose, whatever I've done. I won by going out there.
Yeah. How about you, Dave?
And I think the same. Like, yeah, no one's gone out there to lose, have they? Yeah, if you've done 10 weeks of training, you're like, yeah, I want to lose. Like, something wrong with you, aren't there? You know, I drew my fight, and yeah, I'm proud. At the end of the day, like, yeah, I think even if I'd lost, at the end of the day, like I said to you, in my eyes, I was a winner before I stepped in the ring with the money I raised, the activity I went through. You know, like I said, I've said it what 6-7 times now. It changed my life. So I'd won before I'd got in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it really has, hasn't it? Is it? Obviously, I don't know your personality too well. You know, because I do this. If you get into something new, and then for a while, I'm like, I've got to pace how much I'm enjoying my I love this factor so it doesn't run out of steam too early. Are you in that phase at the minute? Are you having to temper, you know, to make sure you stay in this mode?
Yeah, definitely. So I've always said to my missus, she loves labelling people, right? And she said to me, just before I started doing this boxing, she was like,
labouring.
Yeah, she watched the programme on telly and was like, you've got ADHD. I was like, I walked down the stairs and she's like, you've got ADHD. I was like, what? And she's like, you've got ADHD. And at first, obviously, we had a bit of a fallout over it. But when I watched this programme, basically, she was like, look, and I watched it finally when I agreed. When I'd settled down, I was like, right, let's watch it. When I stopped fighting with the robot vacuum, I was like, let's watch it. And she's like, look how impulsive he is. And I was like, I'm not impulsive. She's like, okay, you're not impulsive. I was like, no. She's like, right. And she's like, look what, they were going through his list of what he's bought on Amazon, right? And I was like, already getting defensive. I was like, no. And she's like, look at your Amazon. So we've got Amazon on. She's like, you've ordered 24 cans of Red Bull. This was just that day. I was like, yeah, for the fridge. She went, you've ordered like two boxes of bottled water. I was like, yeah. She was like, Dave. I was like, what? And like, I'm trying to get my phone back. She's like, two Venus fly traps.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you couldn't. I'm glad my phone's on the windowsill, because if you went through my Amazon, you'd see. And like, she was like, and you're trying to tell me. So I slowly started giving in. I was like, all right, maybe I've got ADHD. Like, yeah. And she was like, look at you with your boxing. I was like, what do you mean? And I'm like, sat there. I'm like, my seventh t-shirt of the day. She's like, how many hours have you done in the gym today? I was like, I've done 5 hours. She's like, you've been in the gym for 5 hours today, like 5 sessions. So I was like, yeah, okay. And so, I was like, you know what? I've just done this because I had a goal. It's impulsive. I've become obsessed.
Right.
So that's why I took that week out after the fight, you know, because I was like, I have a week off, I'll know whether it's real or not, won't I? Because I had a week off and I was like, yeah, I'm going to sit in it, I'm going to eat Doritos, I'm going to have dip, I'm going to watch my Venus fly trap, you know what I mean? I'm going to, and then like come Tuesday, I was clucking to get back in the gym and I was like, I know this is real then, don't I? Like, yeah. It's not a fad.
No, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I love that.
And so when the eyes aren't on you, that's when it is. Yeah. Like, it's that thing, if the eyes aren't on you, but I have to say, Dave is keeping Amazon going on his own then.
I love the fact that you went, I'll need a Venus. I haven't even heard the phrase Venus fly trap for years. Oh, yeah, and the fact you went, we need two, actually.
I've had a third since. Don't tell the reason.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
Final two questions I want to ask you both. Ivona, I will start with you on this. Would you do it again?
No. That's it.
Straight to the point.
Do you know what, though? I can get that because it was the same as when I did a skydive.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? No. Would I do it if I had to? Yes.
How did you feel the next morning? Was it the immediate thing that you thought of when you first woke up the next morning?
I just woke up with a big smile. That's it. It was amazing, and it was a great experience. And exactly what Ryan said. It's if someone asked me, I would do it again. But it was an experience, and I did it. I'm proud of myself. You know, bonus I won. I've done it in memory of my child, and that's it.
Yes.
I've completed my goal. I can move on to do the next challenge, the SAS. So I'm excited for that. But was done. So next, let's move on to something else.
Well, congratulations from everything, like from beating the medical at the start to managing to avoid getting wound up by Ryan, raising your blood pressure even more, to really enjoying your ring walk to the extent that the referee thought you were going to get battered, to then switching the moment the bell went into demon boxer mode and just everything, the way you've handled. Yeah, I think you were brilliant. Well, absolutely brilliant fight and your whole attitude towards it. And I think it's very inspiring to maybe people who'd like to do this in the future. So I'd like to say thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I'm really glad that I didn't box before I went to the rink and I didn't sort out the medics. So yeah, well done to me.
Dave, would you do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I sold myself a dream saying, right, I've done it, I've fought, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to keep training.
Okay.
And then that evolved into texting Ryan being like, how about next time you do the boxing? Like, I'll just get involved and like, I'll come to the training, but I won't train and I'm not going to fight, but I can just like help you and you don't have to be so involved and I can do this and I can do that. So then like Ryan saying, yeah, we're going to the next fight in March. I was like, all right, I'm fighting.
It would just be in the corner of the gym, wouldn't he? On Amazon, Voldemort, being his fly traps.
Yeah, I think I just
need,
need another one
for this gym.
I was like, well, if I just keep involved and keep my toe in, but then if they did need a fight of my sort of size, I could. And then I was like, yeah, basically going to fight again, aren't I?
I think I might know the answer to this one, but how did you feel when you first woke up the following morning?
Do you know what? I think I woke up and was sort of like, should I go again? For me, it was like, I just needed the routine. That's what all of this has been, really. I needed routine and something to get me out of bed in the mornings. So yeah, I sort of woke up the next day and like didn't have anything, I didn't have a purpose anymore. Which is the opposite. And everyone should have woke up and been like, oh yeah, I'm so happy on this. I woke up and was like, I was a bit miserable actually. I had to go out. I said to the missus, like, I want to spend the day with you and the kids, but can I just go and have a couple of hours to myself? I need to go for a walk or just to clear my head, I said, because it was like, it was the end, you know what I mean? I'd done what I set out to do and I was like, what do I do from here now? I've sort of like got nothing to go on. Mm. Look, the only thing I've got is praise at the end of the day. You know, like I said, genuinely has changed my life from, you know, without the effort Ryan puts in, and if he hadn't got, you know, Mark running it and Kev helping him and Jack giving the facility. And, you know, even you guys on the night, like, I couldn't have done any of this without you, could I? So, yeah, for me, he's just a huge thanks. And, you know, I want to get as involved as I can now and help out because I bet there's plenty of other people that are living in ignorance like me, you know, who need this push.
The only thing I want to add is the fact that, you know, after the loss, you're losing that confidence and a lot of women lose the confidence in their body. And I think that is something that you can look up, do the training, gain back the confidence, and regardless of where you're coming from and who you are, you can do it. And obviously, if I did it, anyone else can do it. So it was brilliant. And then the evening was amazing. The training was really good and meeting new people, just great.
What fantastic pair of guests we've had on. This is the Still Parents podcast and our Ready to Rumble boxing special. It's our third one. Like I say, the links for the previous ones are in this, along with the information on how you can get in touch with the Lily May Foundation for our next one, which I'm assuming will be happening in around about 6 or 7 months or so from now.
Hoping in March 2026.
Okay, March 2026. This has been brought to you in support by Globals. Make some noise. I'm down here with Ryan and Matt. Thank you, guys.
Thanking you.
Thanking you very much.
And we will be back very, very soon. Take care.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Globals Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.